Hello and welcome to the Magical Midlife Podcast, where you get a refreshing, uplifting and optimistic perspective on life in your 40s and 50s. I'm your host, Lindsay DeSwart, and I'm delighted that you've joined us here today. So let's jump right in. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Magical Midlife Podcast. It's so nice to see you here. And this is the first one of the new year. So woohoo! Now, today, I'm really delighted because I've got a lovely guest who is Jacqueline Gammon. And Jacqueline is, she and I met through the Self Center, where I run my circles, the women's circles and the shamanic circles. And Jacqueline is all about mindful journaling. So we're going to find out all about that. But as you are probably well aware, we never get to these sorts of things without going through a bit of a journey first. So today, we're going to hear all about Jacqueline's journey to how she got to where she is today. So, hey, Jacqueline, nice to see you.
Hi, Lindsay, and thanks very much for inviting me onto your podcast. It's great to be here.
You're really welcome. I cannot wait to jump into your story because obviously before time, I know a little bit about it. I get the sneak peek. I'm excited that you can share that with the audience today. Okay, so why don't we just start? Just give me a very broad overview just about, you know, you, who you are, family situation, whatever, and then from there we can start diving into the journey.
I've had quite a long journey, but I'll try and start at the beginning. I've just moved back to Suffolk in the UK, and that's after 22 years of living and teaching in Spain. I was born in Suffolk, so I've come full circle. It's quite interesting. I'm married, I've got two children. I've got a son who's just turned 28 and my daughter's 25. And they both grew up in Spain with us, but they came back to England to look for jobs shortly after uni. Mm-hmm. And after a few years on our own, my husband and I decided to move back as well so that all our family would be together here. And I think really the deciding factor for us was the pandemic, because that made us really aware of the distance between us.
So what took you out to Spain in the first place?
We'd spent some time in America. We spent 3 months in America with my husband's job when the children were very small. And we really, really loved that outdoor lifestyle. And we thought, oh, that'd be great to be able to do that. And he was actually offered a job there. But we decided in the end not to take it, again, because of family. We thought, no, this is just too far away. And then shortly after that, I was just looking through a newspaper called the Times Ed. I don't know if that's still going. The Times Educational Supplement was in my staff room. So I was teaching at the time. And I saw an advert for a teaching post in Spain near where my mother's family live. So I thought, oh, I'll just find out some more information. So one thing led to another, ended up going out for a year with my husband and family, and ended up staying for 22 years.
That's quite an extended stay.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, just in moving to another country and making that move, what were the biggest challenges for you personally?
Well, that's a hard one. I don't think I was as scared. I mean, this was, you know, we're talking a long time ago now. I wasn't as scared doing that move as I was coming back. Funnily enough.
Really?
I think just because there was a momentum, you know, from making that decision and going and packing up the house, and everybody was really welcoming when we got there, and it was just great, and just, you know, really busy, you know, being a full-time teacher, a mum, and we had lots of adventures as a family with our friends as well. Sure, I think the toughest thing was just that initial setting up when we got there. But I've always trusted the process of what I'm doing. I've always, you know, sort of been led by my instinct, really. So that's, and also we did have family there, so that really helped. My aunt found us a lovely flat to rent overlooking the sea. Things just came along when we needed them.
Yeah. Fantastic. And how about the language? Was that a problem?
No, the language wasn't a problem because my mum's Spanish, so I'd already spent lots of time in Spain as a child. And in fact, that was one of my dreams when I was a child. I always said to my mum, one day I'm going to live in Spain. And she said, no, that'd be too difficult. You know, you're such a dreamer.
Maybe it's true, but...
Yes, she said, you got lots of big ideas. But anyway, so years later, there I was.
so cool.
Yeah, but for the children, they had to learn the language. But luckily, it was a bilingual school. So they had the Spanish and the English. And then we had Catalan as well, as being a part of Catalonia.
Yeah, of course. Cool. And so how did you, you know, whilst you were in Spain, how did you get into journaling?
All right. So that was, I'd always kept a journal even when I was a child. Mm. And, you know, when we did different traveling and when we were in America as well, I kept a journal with all the, you know, all the fun things that we did. But I didn't start using it really to explore more deeply until I was going through a bit of a tough time at school, you know, with teaching, because right. I found that a lot of things coincided. I was teaching full time, so, and it was quite stressful. I had quite a demanding class at the time, and both of my children were going through sort of key points at school as well, in terms of exams and studying and making decisions about what they wanted to do next. And then I was obviously going through perimenopause, which I didn't really realise at the time. I just
Yeah, so many of us were in the same situation or were in the same situation. We had no idea what was going on.
No, no. Yeah, so it's just all, there's all these hormones flying around, which I didn't know. I didn't know why I was so up and down, lack of energy. And I was getting home and just, you know, feeling exhausted with a load of marking to do on top of that and not really knowing, you know, what was going on. So I started to turn to my journal again. And this time I was just, you know, it was like a brain dump, really. I was just writing everything that I was feeling, everything that I was going through. And it gave me instant relief, really.
Right.
And then so I thought, okay, I'll do this, I don't know, whenever I needed to. I just sat down with a journal and started writing. And over time, when I was reflecting on the journal, I realized that there were certain patterns coming through and it started to make sense.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Such as?
For example, just sort of noticing that I needed to make a change in my life, that, you know, things were obviously changing. The children were going to be moving away because they wanted to study. Well, my daughter wanted to study in the UK. Mm. And I thought, well, you know, this tiredness and this, you know, trying to do too many things at once is, you know, is not really working out now. I mean, it was fulfilling. I loved teaching. I loved being with the children, had great colleagues. It was a great school. But I just knew that I couldn't keep up that level of, you know, that level of demand, really, with everything. Mm-hmm. So sort of facing that empty nest syndrome. I sort of explored that a little bit through my journal. And then after I did eventually decide to give up teaching, which coincided with my daughter's last year at the school as well. So
wow, that was a fairly significant year then.
It was. Yeah, then she went away. Then we had, after a couple of years, we had the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then that led to me getting a lot deeper into the journaling. And that's when I began to share it with others as well.
Right. So has there been anybody along the way that's been, you know, a mentor or a teacher to you?
Yes. I became involved with, just shortly after I'd finished teaching, I became involved with mindfulness, because I saw a mindfulness course advertised in Barcelona. It was an 8-week course. Mm. So I decided to sign up for that. And that really, really helped my own situation. I felt that it helped me to de-stress. It helped me become a lot more aware of, you know, what was going on with my mind and my body, very connected. Yeah. And just a whole different way of living, really. So that gradually started to combine in with my journaling.
Right.
And I decided that I would very much like to pass on this mindfulness knowledge to other people, to share it. Mm. And I thought, oh, I'd really love to teach that to other people. And then I've discovered a course that was led by Shamash Alidina, who is the author of Mindfulness for Dummies. So he led that course. And then during the pandemic, he did lots and lots online with his community to support people through the pandemic. And he invited me to take part in a webinar all about mindfulness and journaling. And people loved it.
Oh, Oh, cool.
So he's been extremely supportive, very, very encouraging all the way through.
Right.
People that have supported me, Lindsay, I've found, apart from Shamash in my sort of more professional life, other women have supported me in my personal life.
Right.
Which I found very surprising, because when I was a lot younger, when I was in junior school, I was bullied because I'd moved from a different area and I had a different accent. So people used to make fun of me, which affected my confidence a lot as a child.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated it as I grew up. And especially when I was teaching, I had a very good friend. She's still a really good friend. And she was probably one of the first people that I was just able to be, I don't say vulnerable, that because she was very open. We would sit down, you know, morning coffee and things, and just say, "Oh, you know, what's going on for you? And what's going on for you?" And it was great, because I was able to have a conversation on a, you know, on the same level, if that makes sense, without being judged.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciated that. And, you know, as I've gone sort of through life, especially that sort of like menopause and post-menopause, I keep coming along, keep finding people that are just, I can really relate to on a sort of much deeper level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that you say about the bullying, actually, because you'd be surprised how many guests on this podcast have experienced either not fitting in at school, or feeling always like they were the outsider, or having struggles with bullying as growing up, and just not relating to other women very well.
Hmm.
So I don't know how much of that is about, obviously, you know, because this is so, the types of people that come on to this are, they've normally pursued some sort of, let's say, slightly alternative route.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really, you know, follow their passions, follow their dreams, which isn't the norm. That's not what most people do. But they've struggled with female relationships. I mean, I know I did for years. All of my best friends were guys.
Mm.
And it's only in later life, since getting more into the sort of energy work and spiritual work and healing, and then more into networking and stuff, that most of my friends then became women. But that was a new phenomenon for me as well. So I'm really glad that you brought it up, because I promise you, you're not alone.
I think it's... In society, it's always been quite competitive, hasn't it? I think that's changing a lot. I know for certain that the relationships that my daughter has with her own friends are very, very different to the kind of relationships that I had at school.
Mm.
I think they're much less competitive, and, you know, she's able to discuss things with them as well, which I think is really good. I think it was different.
Yeah, and again, I think that's also, you get pockets of it. Because, for example, when we left Canada, my daughter was in a really bad place with bullying. Age 13, I guess, really bad place with bullying. I mean, we've since found out kind of the responses she have of almost like PTSD. I mean, unbelievable. I just didn't realize how bad it was. And then she's moved here. And I can say we were all a little bit concerned about, okay, how is this going to go? Same thing. She's got a different accent. She's never been educated here. How is that going to go? And the group of girls she's met have been absolutely unbelievably welcoming, supportive, friendly. And she's just bonded right from the first day at school, when she was introduced to a girl as kind of, you know, to shadow this girl so she could be welcomed in. And she's not looked back.
Mm.
But goes against everything that your gut might tell you, you know, the outsider. And thankfully, it's all worked really differently. So I think it's really, I really hope that it's changing now, that girls can be really supportive of each other. But there has been in the past, there has been a lot of competition. And I think it can be really difficult, A, to try and fit in. But then just, yeah, for girls to find their place, find their voice, and to really, you know, stand up for who they are. And as you say, to be authentic, to be vulnerable. So. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, because I really, yeah, I think other people are going to relate to that totally.
Yeah, I think it's that whole vulnerability, you know, that just being vulnerable is really, really hard for people sometimes, especially if they have had bad experiences in the past. And what I've found through, you know, journaling with other groups of women is I've just been amazed at, you know, how much connection, you know, people are able to make in a group.
Really?
Yeah, even online. I mean, you know, during the pandemic, had my journaling circle online, and it was just amazing. You know, I'd never done anything like that before, and there we were in the Zoom room, you know, all journaling together and sharing, and it was just incredible. I mean, it really was.
Tell us a bit about that, because to me, the idea of everybody being in a Zoom room and writing, it seems a bit crazy. So how did that work out?
Yeah, it's like following a process, because it's combining the mindfulness with the journaling. So, you know, we usually started by, you know, getting together in the Zoom room, having a quick chat about what was going on, welcoming, and then doing a very, you know, lovely grounding meditation just to bring ourselves into the present moment and to calm our thoughts. Because I've always found that, you know, it's easy to sit down with your journal and just, you know, start ranting and raving and rather than coming at it from a bit more of a calmer place.
So
we would do the meditation for about 5 or 10 minutes. Sometimes look at like a prompt, or, you know, journaling prompt, or a poem, that see what that, you know, what that inspires with people, usually around a theme. And then I put a prompt on the screen and everybody would write for about 15 minutes or so, and then come back together for a bit of reflection. And I think it's, people are always surprised at what comes up. There's often a resistance around journaling because people are quite frightened about what's going to come up. You know, people will say, oh, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, I'm, you know, scared of that blank page. But I think, you know, journaling in that small group, it's really helped, because people felt supported, they felt like they weren't on their own, and there's always that chance for discussion at the end.
Have you ever come across the situation that somebody has got something that they really want to write about, but they're so scared of somebody actually finding their journal that they actually daren't let it out?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
People about that, because I had that for many, many, many years.
Yeah. People are often, you know, scared about writing things down. You know, first of all, you know, because they don't want to see it themselves sometimes.
Yeah,
but
true.
That idea of writing, committing something to paper that somebody could then read, I think it's terrifying. So what I, you know, usually say to people is, you know, write it down, get those feelings out, and then, you know, rip it up, or, you know, burn it in a safe place, or shred it. There are also password protected journals online as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think is it Penzu? I think it's called Penzu. One of
okay.
those.
Okay, I'll look it up and put it in the show.
Yeah. But I think, you know, just the idea is just to, you know, get those thoughts and feelings out. But, you know, if people are really concerned about somebody coming across it, then just destroy it, because, you know, in certain situations, somebody might not be in a safe relationship. And somebody finding that could be, could be really triggering.
Yeah. So what sort of stuff either your own experience or, you know, working with the groups that you do, what sort of things have come through or have benefited from journaling that you wouldn't normally expect?
People trying to find out what it is that they really want. I think especially when they're at a transitional point of their lives, some people, like pre-retirement, even though retirement might be, you know, 5 years down the line, they're concerned about it, not sure what they're going to do. Or if somebody's, you know, given up a job like I did, and they're kind of in that sort of limbo state, not quite knowing where they're going next.
Yeah, it's a lot
really
of that
helped.
Around at the moment.
That sort of point of transition. And also, I think our generation now asking that question, what do I want to do right now? You know, people in their 50s, you know, like me, are saying, what do I want to do next? As usually, you know, sort of we compare it to our own parents, or majority of them probably just thought, okay, I'm going to retire. And then that was just like retirement, and it was like a line drawn. But now, you know, people are living longer, healthier, there's more options. So I think, you know, people think, oh, wow, you know, what am I going to do next? So I think that turning it around from it being something frightening to, wow, there are opportunities out there. What do I want to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, people have sort of been quite surprised at what they've discovered through their journals.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you turn it around? So one thing you said about, you know, writing down and kind of ranting and raving into the journal, how do you then turn it round, or how do you find it turns itself around so it becomes more of a positive process?
Yeah, reflecting on the journal and looking at the language that you're using in the journal is really important. One of the exercises that we do is to look through and to spot where those negative comments are.
Right.
And to rewrite them in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a fun thing. But then also focusing on, what can I do now? What do I need and what can I do right now? So that you can start to implement really tiny steps.
Right.
Things can be overwhelming. If, for example, you decided that you want to move country, you know, like you did, Lindsay, it can be overwhelming. So, you know, where do you even start?
Yeah.
So you can, you know, you can run a mile just asking that question, or you can sit down and try and dig down and see, you know, what you can really do. So, yeah. So I would recommend for people to think, you know, what do I need? What do I want? And what's the smallest step that I can take towards that?
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so how do you introduce mindfulness into journaling?
That's very much linked in with, well, firstly, with the grounding meditation that we do at the beginning of the journaling, and then using the key aspects of mindfulness to help to deal with the emotions and feelings that come up during journaling.
Right.
A big one is non-judgment. That's one of the key pillars of mindfulness.
Okay.
So we would look at, you know, how are we judging ourselves? Where are those little voices coming up saying, oh, no, you can't do that, or you're too this, you're too that. Mm-hmm. And just trying to take a step back from that, just being aware of it. That's one of the things. And another one is sort of compassion or self-kindness.
Yeah.
Trying to bring that in as well. Very much trying to use those while you're journaling. Just have that awareness of even noticing that you could be writing something that's very uncomfortable, but just noticing, you know, where in your body does it start to feel uncomfortable? Are you clenching your hand? Are you clenching, you know, just hunching up with your shoulders? And all of those things are huge clues that otherwise can go unnoticed.
Yeah, and they build up over time as well. So if you can actually get it out through journaling, that's really, it's a fantastic way to dissipate the energy.
Definitely.
Fantastic. So with so you said that you did your mindfulness and journaling webinars and got involved during COVID. And then so how have you now sort of changed that since you've come back from Spain?
Well, I've only been back for a few months, so I'm just getting going.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Going to carry on doing the online courses.
Cool.
And yeah, then going out into the community now, really. So I've obviously made contact with the Self Centre, which I'm very much looking forward to coming and speaking.
Yes.
And then I'm going to set up some journaling circles, hopefully at the Self Centre and in other places as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, a question. Do your kids do journaling?
My daughter does, yes.
Right, okay. And how sort of receptive was she to that?
That's something that she started on her own. She's kept a diary for years.
Right.
Remember years and years ago, she asked for a little diary for Christmas. It's one of those that had a little lock on the side.
Yeah.
So she used to do that and she still journals. So yeah, she finds it really helpful for processing things.
Fantastic. And how do you think it's changed you as a person?
I think it's made me more connected with who I am. And given me the courage to do things that I'd like to do.
Such as? Spill the beans, let us know.
Yeah, such as. Well, such as in the first place, I think it was sort of going to Spain, and then it helped me make that decision about coming back from Spain 22 yeah. years later. That was there was so much in my journals about that, because I would write, you know, how much I was missing the children, and you know, things that I wanted to do in my business that I wouldn't be able to do in Spain, that came into the journaling. Other days I would think, oh, I don't know, am I making the right decision? So I'd write that down.
Yeah.
And then I think I had so much written in the journals that I was able to reflect in it over time. And
right.
that helped to make those decisions.
Yeah. Very cool. Now, one thing you mentioned was starting with a journaling prompt. Where can people kind of come up with those prompts? Because the word prompt at the moment, all I can think of with prompt is ChatGPT, because everybody keeps talking about prompts and ChatGPT, which is nothing to do with journaling. So, yeah, where can people, you know, find useful or resourceful prompts? What's the best way to go about that?
Yeah, you can if you Google journaling prompts,
right,
then okay. things will come up. And it's quite good if you want to, like, journaling prompts for anxiety or journaling prompts for stress.
Okay.
Those will come up.
Oh, cool. Fantastic. So if somebody's maybe just used to keeping a diary kind of a journal, but wants to start using it in a kind of, you know, in a more deep level or a more transformational way, what's the best way that they can make that sort of transition?
First of all, setting aside some time when they're not going to be interrupted.
Right.
And making sure they're journaling in a safe space. That might sound funny, but I think it's really important for people to feel comfortable, because, you know, when you feel comfortable, then your thoughts and feelings will flow a lot better.
Mm.
And then just to start writing.
Right.
Even if it's just, I don't know what to write, this is silly, don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, even if it's two or three pages later, after just a, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just say to people, just start writing.
Mm-hmm.
Writing all the random thoughts that come through, and yeah, just start from there.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so how is your life different now compared to what it was sort of in life before journaling, which probably would have also been life before perimenopause, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Tough question.
The reason I ask is, and I ask most of my guests on the show, because who we are growing up and kind of fitting into expectations and trying to do everything, you know, whether it's career, children, marriage, all the things we're doing. And then normally when we've come through some sort of journey and we're now in midlife, we look back and go, oh my goodness, I barely recognize myself from who I was. I mean, has that been the case for you?
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel that now that I'm on my own path, that other
right.
people haven't chosen the path mm-hmm. for me. So I'm not on autopilot. I'm more aware of the choices that I'm making, rather than that expectation of this is what you have to do now and this is what you have to do now. And at this age, you know, you have to retire or all those kind of things. So yeah, definitely. More authentic.
Fantastic. And does that feel good?
It does. It also makes you feel vulnerable, because, you know, it's, you know, to do the things, some of the things I'd like to do, like, you know, running the women's circles for journaling and writing, it means I've had to be vulnerable. I've had to step forward
into
a spotlight, which is still feels uncomfortable sometimes, but
yeah, fair
I want
enough.
To do it because I have the motivation and the reason to do it.
Yeah, fantastic. Cool. So if people want to know more, how can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. So it's Jacqueline_Gammon_journaling.
Okay. And I'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah. I'll give you the link to the website as well.
Fantastic. That would be great. And is there anything currently that people can to get from you, whether it's a download or anything like that?
I will send you a link to a download. Yeah.
That would be lovely. Yeah, okay. Thank you. And what will that help people do?
It'll be a PDF download for 7 days of journaling practice with some mindful tips in there as well.
Oh, cool. That sounds really good. Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
No, cool. You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. So, because I'm always really aware of time, as I know, we're all shorter of time and shorter of attention span than we used to be. I'm going to bring that to a close, but I'm really grateful and I can't wait for you to actually come to talk to the Women's Circle, the in-person Women's Circle. So if anyone's listening to this and they're accessible to Bury St Edmunds, then come along to the Self Centre and you can just look on the Self Centre website for the details of the circle, but come along. And if not, and I just love to say thank you so much. And it's lovely to meet you more in person than we have before, but not as in person as when we meet in person.
Yeah, thank you, Lindsay. Thanks very much again for inviting me.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. Just before you go, can I ask a favour? Could you possibly subscribe to the show and leave a review if you really enjoyed it? Those things are absolutely the lifeblood of the show. They allow the show then to get a bit more publicity and get sent out to other people. So I'd love it if you could be a part of growing this podcast and sharing the magical midlife message. Now, also, we've got a new feature down in the show notes, which is an online store which now supports everything to do with the magical midlife. There are personal and business resources on there for you, so please go and check it out. As I say, it's right down at the bottom in the show notes. There's free downloads, there's paid for downloads, there is physical books, and there's even links for coaching and business training as well. Okay, so thanks so much for being a part of the Magical Midlife, and I can't wait to catch up with you in the next episode. Take care.